And good evening. This is indeed the day the Lord has made, and we're determined to rejoice and be glad in it. We praise God for each of you today on the call. Go ahead and click, tag, and share, and then let us know that the sound is coming in and that you're getting a good signal here as we prepare for this time together tonight. And we praise God for each of you. Lady Kim is away. She'll be back in a few minutes, but we're going to be in the third chapter of Song of Solomon tonight. That's right, the third chapter. We hope that you've already read it. I tell you, this is a powerful passage of scripture. This is a powerful chapter, if you will. There's a lot of comparison analogies. There's a lot of symbolism that's taking place here. But we are, as we move through this book, one of the things that's really continues to capture my imagination as I read it is that God is so complete. He's so in touch. He's so in tune. And his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And as a result of that, it covers the whole gamut of everything that we see ourselves going through, everything that we find ourselves dealing with. And so we have to be mindful of that, even as we study the word of God, that there is nothing too hard for our God. And so we know that his promises are sure and his satisfaction is guaranteed. And we know that God is concerned about relationships. He's concerned about what we go through in our relationships. And so this book, this part, almost in the middle of the Bible, he stops in the midst of everything that they have been going through, and he begins to share with us a love story and then takes time out to give us some handles on how important it is for us to make sure that we connect in a way, even as we go through situations in our own lives as it relates to our marriages, as it relates to guidelines for strengthening and showing godly love and marriage should be. He lists several things here, as we've already indicated. He lists that you should give your spouse the attention he or she needs. And so all of this is captured right here in these few chapters in the Song of Solomon. But he also talks about how you need to take time to truly know your spouse. And so many times I think people are in such a hurry, and they're so quick to try to get in a marriage and want to be involved in to an extent that they don't really get to know each other. And so we have to make sure that we know ourselves first of all before we can truly know somebody else. We have to make sure that we are clear in terms of who we are, so that we don't bring excess baggage into a relationship. And sometimes we have not been healed from things in our past, and many times we find ourselves bringing that same garbage or that same baggage, if you will, into a new relationship. So for those who are married and for those who are yet even considering marriage, then you have to make sure that you spend some quality time and getting to know that person that you want to connect with and that you feel that the Lord has directed you to. And then also we see here in the Song of Solomon that there's encouragement and praise and should be considered, and not criticism, when it comes to a successful marriage. He says that's vital, that's key, that's critical if we're going to get to where God would have us to be. I'm just going over a few of the final points, Lady Kim, as I was sharing with the audience while you were away, how important it is for us to digest this Song of Solomon, and how God was so concerned about the wholeness of man and woman that he took time out to create a chapter, a whole book, if you will, to speak about intimacy and relationships, and deals with some of the things that we should capture as a result of this book as it relates to godly marriages and godly relationships.
Amen.
And he goes on to talk about how important it is for couples to spend time together, to get away, be creative, even playful with each other, delight in God's gift of married love. And then the fourth thing he talks about here, just giving an overview of where we've already gone, do whatever is necessary to reassure commitment to your spouse. And by that, he's talking about making vows or renewing vows, working through problems and issues, because many times people get to a stumbling block or issue and they feel they want to just dissolve or walk away. But we should not enter into marriage with divorce as a solution. That was one of the things, and God intends for both the husband and the wife to live in a deeply peaceful, secure, and we've been talking about that word secure for a minute, and there was a lot that came out of the sermon on yesterday that Dr. Qualis preached as it relates to insecurities. Mm-hmm. But he's talking about how we should have a secure love for each other when people have entered into a marital relationship, and it's not going into some kind of legal document in terms of it being
a contractual
mm-hmm. agreement, but it should be more of a covenant established in by God and by what the word of the Lord has to say.
Amen.
Would you agree with me on that?
Absolutely.
All right. So we were just kind of going through that while you were away. And I told them you slammed the door and walked out on me, but you're back.
I wasn't gone far.
All right, but we're going to be in the third chapter of Song of Solomon tonight. But before we do that, and before we start talking about the powerful word that we received on yesterday, we want to have a word of prayer. And then there are only 11 verses here in this third chapter. And so we'll just take our time and walk through those tonight and see what God has to say to us as a result of this word tonight. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we bless you and we honor you and we thank you for this day and we thank you for our lives. We thank you for your Spirit's abiding presence and we thank you for we realize that we're nothing without you and that in you we do live, move, and have our being. And so now, God, we pray that even as we have gathered on this Monday night to study your word, we pray, dear Lord, that our faith may increase as a result of this time that we're going to spend together and that we'll be better as a result of this time that we have together around your word. So we love you tonight. We honor you and we bless your name. We pray that needs will be met, that somebody's life will be changed. And then, God, that you will show yourself strong on our behalf. And for this, we give you praise. Now, God, may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And
amen.
Praise God.
Did you talk about what today was, Dr. Murray?
No, I didn't.
Okay. You usually start off with the date and, you know, October the 10th. And traditionally, you know, when we were growing up, it was called Columbus Day.
Mm-hmm.
Because we were taught that Columbus discovered America.
Okay.
But, you know, once, you know, we got older and we thought about that, how can Columbus discover something and somebody was already here?
It's already been discovered.
Yeah, it was already discovered.
Uh-huh.
So it has been recently changed to Indigenous People Day.
Okay.
Which
okay.
is a much more concise and accurate
and holistic
term for the day.
Okay,
you know, we
okay.
recognize the people who were already here,
mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
Native Americans, indigenous people. They were indigenous to this country. So happy Indigenous People Day.
Okay. That's good. All right. Well, tell us a little bit about this word that we received yesterday, Lady Kim, because Dr. Qualis, she stood tall and
she
proclaimed a powerful word, went to the prayer of Jabez. Many of us are familiar with that. And she just opened that word up and began to pour into us and began to share about how we need to pray through, what does she call it, the pain?
Pray through the pain.
Pain of our past?
Yes, praying past the pain.
Praying past the
pain.
Praying
past
the pain. I just messed that all the way up, dude.
Well, you were close.
I was
close. You were in the ballpark.
All right. Mm-hmm. Pray, and it had a lot to do with praying through the pain of our past. Mm-hmm. Because when she began to talk about Jabez, mm-hmm. and how his mother named him, that had a lot to do with his past. Mm-hmm. And it also is clear here, as I indicated earlier, that there are some insecurities here all through this particular text. But tell us a little bit about what you heard while you were in the light on yesterday.
While I was in the light?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I took a lot of notes yesterday in my phone, mm-hmm. in the Bible app that we have. The thing is, if you don't push save and you close it, all of it is gone. So you know what? I got distracted and happy at the end. I didn't push save. But you know what? It was such a good word. It's not hard to go back and pick up some nuggets.
That's right.
So again, she her title was Praying Past the Pain. And 1 Chronicles 4, 9 through 10, the prayer of Jabez. And it said that he was more honorable than any of his brothers, and his mother had named him Jabez because his birth had been so painful. He was the one who prayed for the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and expand my territory. Please be with me in all that I do and keep me from all trouble and pain." And God granted him his request.
Okay.
And so her first point is, it's not me, it's you.
Okay.
And when she was talking about it's not me, it's you, she was talking about that Jabez's mother, she called him Miss Jabez. Miss Jabez named him Pain. His name actually meant pain because she had such a painful childbirth. But it wasn't him. That was reflected on him because he had to carry that name everywhere he went.
Mm-hmm.
Every time somebody called his name, they called his name, "Hey, Pain. Pain this, Pain that." You know, just substitute Jabez with Pain. So he lived with that name. But it was not him that was in pain. It was the reflection that the mother had placed upon him.
Okay.
And so, you know, it's not me, but it's you,
mm-hmm.
you know, that you have to work through your issues. And then another point was...
Well, that's a good point before you move on, Lady Kim, because many times people look at our circumstance or our situation and they want to define us by what we're going through, mm-hmm. or what we are experiencing,
mm-hmm.
but that's really not who we are. And I think oftentimes when we find ourselves even going through difficulty in our own lives and it looks like things are not going the way that we think they ought to, that does not mean that God has abandoned us, mm-hmm. or left us. We're still somebody.
Mm-hmm.
We are made in the image and in the likeness of God. So don't let anybody define who you are based upon what you're going through.
Right.
But you define yourself based upon the word of God and
what
God has to say.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's what mm-hmm. she was saying.
Is that what she was saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's good. Don't let anybody define you.
Yeah.
Or don't let any situation define
That's
you.
That's right.
Because situations only last for a while.
That's right.
You know, situations are only last for a season.
Yeah.
You know, and so once you're past that season, you can move on,
mm-hmm.
you know, and rest assured there'll be something else that comes
That's
along.
Right. That's right.
You know?
That's right.
So it's not me, it's you. You
mm-hmm.
can't reflect, and you can't reflect your, or you can't judge me based upon what I'm going through.
Okay. Okay, mm-hmm. All right, that's good. That's
and
good.
And then her next point was...
I didn't mean to cut you off, but I wanted to make
good,
sure
though.
You... Okay, so if I think I have something good, then I can cut you off, if that's what you're
every
saying.
Time.
Okay, it might not be good, though.
That's okay, it's still okay.
Okay,
all right.
I'm just trying to flow with you what you're saying. Why are you looking at me all cross-eyed like that, though?
You're so silly.
All right, come on. What was the second point?
You made me forget what I was going to say. But the second thing was that we noticed in this prayer is that Jabez was the one who prayed.
You know,
he said, oh Lord God of Israel, that you would bless me and expand my territory. Expand his territory. And so, and she mentioned several things about, you know, that the things that he asked for weren't really tangible things, you know. And see, I had all that written down and it's gone away.
Okay.
But he was the one who prayed. He prayed through that pain.
That's right.
So he could get past the situation or get past the stigma that was placed upon
him.
Okay,
that's good. And I think the other part of it has to do with the fact that many times when we find ourselves in situations like that, he prayed not just for himself, but that you would enlarge my territory signifies the fact that he was concerned about those around him.
Yes.
And I think she brought that out powerfully in that if God blesses me, then and to enlarge my territory, it has to affect those in my circle.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's important because many times we find people praying selfish prayers and they really focus in on what they can get for themselves without thinking about those who they come in contact with on a day-to-day basis. But Jabez's prayer was one that if his territory was enlarged, it was going to be a blessing to everybody that he came
in
contact with.
That's right. And another thing he said, he please be with me in everything that I do and all that I do and keep me from all trouble and pain. You know, so when we pray a prayer, you know, we ought to pray that God keep us.
That's right.
From all the troubling things that come our way. But you know what? We pray that prayer, but we know that we're all going to endure trouble at some point in our life or endure hard circumstances. But the thing that we need to understand is God is with us and that he'll see us through.
That's right. That's
and
right.
So to help us to go through, which was her last point, praying past that pain, getting past those circumstances, getting past the situations that we find ourselves in is what makes the difference.
Okay. Well, the psalmist put it this way, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And so even though we are going through, that does not mean that that's the end. It means that we're going through. And once we get out on the other side, then God has already promised that he would be with us always. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And this is the word for somebody listening tonight, because many times when we get into a situation where it's painful or it seems too hard to bear, oftentimes we sink in right there and we settle for less than what God has for us because we decide that we're not going to continue to pursue or press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. Because in our pressing, therein lies our blessing. You follow me?
Yes.
And so we have to press through, we have to push through, because what we think might be our end is the can very well be the thing that God will use to help develop us for the next situation that we find ourselves in. And Isaiah put it this way, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. And so we have to continue to pursue God even in difficult times, even when the pain is of such that we don't feel like getting up in the morning. The pain is of such that we don't want to talk to anybody. We don't want to associate with other people. We just want to be in the house and want to keep the shades closed and we don't want to answer the door. But God says, I will see you through this.
He will see us
and
through.
So we ought not get so caught up in what we're going through that we don't see the one who can see us through.
Amen. And that's, like you said, that's a reminder for someone, mm-hmm. because somebody is stuck.
That's right.
You know, they stuck at the gate.
That's right.
They can't move forward. They can't move backwards. And I know we've had a couple of difficult situations this week where I have said weeping may endure for a night, mm-hmm. but joy mm-hmm. cometh in the morning.
Yeah.
And so my prayer, you know, for my coworkers' family has been that, you know, weeping may endure for a night.
Mm-hmm.
So I just hope that the pain and the grief that they are feeling will only last just a little while.
Yeah.
I know the pain is great.
That's right.
But they'll move forward. And that's for anybody who's listening, that whatever pain and heartache you feel right now, continue to get up in the morning, wash your face, and press forward. Mm-hmm. Take one day at a time, one step at a time, and watch God help you through it. This time next year, somebody say, this time next year.
This time next year. Go ahead and type that in. That's right.
You will be
better
than you were today.
That's right.
You will be able to look back and say, oh God, how great thou art. You brought me from a mighty long way.
And Lady Kim is referencing, and you've seen it all over the news, of course. You want to just share a little bit more. That was your co-worker and Willie Boyd and Pastor Willie Boyd. And I met him, Lady Kim, before he even started to work with Shelby County Schools. And even when we were in the process of trying to convert our property up on the hill for it to be tax exempt, he came out and walked the property with me and shared and talked about what we needed to do in order to get that status lifted. Mm-hmm. And so that's why you see that ball diamond up there now in the signs that say athletic field. It was because Willie Boyd, when he was working with the tax assessor's office, he came and shared with me, and we were paying taxes on that 8 acres up on the hill. But now it's tax exempt because he was willing to come out and help and assist. And I know that you have some even more current memories of him, as he was some kind of preacher. Mm-hmm. He was a powerful preacher and a singer, gospel preacher. And it's a terrible loss, not only to this community and his family and his church, but it's a terrible loss to the kingdom.
To the kingdom of God. And such a young person.
Young
too.
Man.
Today was his birthday.
Yeah.
And he would have been 45 years old on today.
Yeah.
So he passed away on Saturday in a tragic one-car accident, leaving behind his beautiful family that he adored. He talked about mm-hmm. those kids every day. He talked about his beautiful wife being an artist. She's a gifted artist. He showed me pictures sometimes of some of her new paintings that she had done. And we always, he would always talk about how did the sermon go, how was church on yesterday, if he saw me on a Monday. But every time he passed my office, he would holler out, Dr. Murray, Dr. Murray, just encouraging me to continue to go on, because he was talking about going through the same doctoral program that I was going through. But he said he had chosen another school that he was going to go to for his to receive his doctorate degree. So such a tragic and shocking loss. But everybody today stated that, you know, he was just that kind of helpful person.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
he served in our department. Actually, Tiffany worked directly with him in the special populations. And he worked with people that were homeless and displaced, and families that were displaced, or whatever they needed, you know, he would search out, you know, resources and contacts to help people. And mm-hmm. that's the kind of person he was. And so such a great loss to our community. You know, our hearts were heavy today. But as we were ending, we did a balloon release. It was so beautiful. And as we were ending and people started going into the building, the Spirit put it in my heart and I yelled this out, well done, thy good and faithful servant.
Mm-hmm.
You have been faithful over a few things, but God has made you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of the Lord.
Oh,
and some people put that on their Facebook statuses, but I couldn't leave until I spoke those words into the atmosphere as those balloons went into the air.
Okay. And then, not to belabor and prolong the time, on the tail end of that, we got word that Bishop William Young had passed last night. And I tell you, our hearts are just heavy tonight because Bishop Young was a dear friend of ours. He and his wife, of course, you know, they came over and they preached, and he taught workshops for us, mm-hmm. and we would work
workshops
out
workshops on grief.
Grief, that's
yes.
right. And we would work out together, and we would hold each other accountable. And he, myself, and Dr. Davis, all of us would go to the gym together, and we would call each other. And so it's a terrible loss, but we know that God is with these families. And you know, it sometimes becomes even more personable for us when you know the people. But so many people are leaving and dying. And one of the things that Bishop Young instilled within me when we were going through the grief process that he came over, grief is normal, it's natural, and it's necessary. Mm. And so he was trying to stress the importance of people going through that process, because if you don't go through this process, then you'll find yourself stuck and not being able to go forward. And so even when you talk about grief, it's not always about someone who has died. Sometimes it can be a separation. Sometimes it can be somebody walking out of your life. Sometimes it can be a divorce. Sometimes it can be
a loss of a job.
A job, mm-hmm. that's right. And so you have to go through that process in order to release mm-hmm. yourself from whatever it is that... See, the enemy wants to try to hinder us and distract us and hold us in a place that God never intended for us to be. Mm-hmm. And he will continue to throw distractions. He will continue to throw devices at us that will not allow us to move forward in the destiny that he's already designed for our lives. And so it's normal, it's natural, and it's necessary for you to go through that grieving process, whatever that situation might be that you find yourself in when it's dealing with a loss. Mm-hmm. And so we didn't mean to get stuck there, but this has just been...
It's been a tough couple of days
for
us.
Yeah, you know, that's right. That's right. And so we praise God for his keeping power and for him sustaining the families. And we praise God that God will indeed see them through. It's never easy, but we know that God is well able.
Amen.
And so
Amen.
We lift up
the Young family,
that's right.
and the Boyd family.
And the Boyd family. That's right. All right. Well, let's jump into this word tonight, Lady Kim. There are only 11 verses here. And part of what we see here, it's very interesting dynamic, because there has been a going back and forth conversation with this Shulamite woman, as well as with Solomon, as he's preparing now to go ahead and consummate this marriage and make everything solid and make everything complete, if you will, as it relates to them moving toward the big day and the celebration. And so this Shulamite woman that we'll see coming out here in this third chapter, she finds herself really, she's dreaming. She dreamed of seeking and then finding Solomon. That's going to be in the first 5 verses. And she sensed a critical need for Solomon's companionship in the early days of their marriage. And then when we looked at, I think, in that second chapter in the 7th verse, she sent out a warning then. And I'll read what it says in the 2nd chapter in the 7th verse. It says, "Young women of Jerusalem, I charge you by the gazelles and the wild doves of the field, do not stir up or awaken love until the appropriate time." And so we'll find that coming out here in the 3rd chapter, because she made reference to it in the 2nd chapter, but it comes clear in these first 5 verses as they prepare to consummate this marriage, if you will, and it has to be at the appropriate time. And many times people get in a hurry and they don't want to wait for the appropriate time. They want to go ahead and do what they want to do when they want to do it. But we'll see Solomon describing his bride, and then we'll also see how the daughters of Jerusalem that we just made reference to, they're in this bridal procession, if you will, and Solomon's carriage is being carried. He's in a chair with some poles, really, and they're carrying him. And then there's a reference here in this third chapter, even about his mother. Mm-hmm. We'll see that at the end mm-hmm. of this third chapter. And we all know who his mother was, mm-hmm. don't we? Somebody type who Solomon's mother was in the margin, in the box there. So I won't say it. I want to see who's going to get the correct answer. Somebody type, the question is, who was Solomon's mother? Somebody type that in, and then we'll have Lady Kim to start.
It starts with the letter.
Don't do that. Don't do it. So somebody's probably going through their phone, putting it in Google and all of that. We didn't ask you to do all of that. Just give you a spontaneous answer. Who was Solomon's mother? There it is.
Bathsheba.
That's right. And so we remember that whole situation with David and Bathsheba. And Solomon is their child.
Mm-hmm.
And Bathsheba is Solomon's mother. And so he makes reference even here in this third chapter to his mother. But let's go ahead and read this, Lady Kim. Who is that gave us the correct answer?
Ms. Michelle.
Michelle, thank you so much. And I know you didn't have to Google that. I know you already had that right on the tip of your tongue. That's
mm-hmm.
right. And so we praise God for that. All right. Well, let's go ahead. We're in Solomon, Song of Solomon, the third chapter. And you want to go ahead and read all of this? You want to break it up?
Can we do 1 through 5 and then 6 through 11?
Sure.
Yeah, that way we can talk, you know, about those few verses.
Okay.
All right. Song of Solomon, the third chapter, beginning with verse 1. One night as I lay in bed, I yearned for my lover. I yearned for him, but he did not come. So I said to myself, I will get up and roam the city, searching in all its streets and squares. I will search for the one I love. So I searched everywhere but did not find him. The watchmen stopped me as they made their rounds. And I asked, have you seen the one I love? Then scarcely had I left them when I found my love. I caught and held him tightly. Then I brought him to my mother's house, into my mother's bed where I had been conceived. Promise me, O women of Jerusalem, by the gazelles and wild deer, not to awaken love until the time is right.
Okay. And that's that reference we just made to in that second chapter, almost the same exact words.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot here that's happening in these first five verses in terms of this Shunammite woman and how she's yet dreaming and longing for Solomon to be in her arms. Is mm-hmm. that right?
That's correct.
Okay.
You know, I looked up in the Bible commentary trying to see, you know, a good similarity there that they're making, because, you know, we've talked about it before that mm-hmm. the Song of Solomon, as well as other books, are this is particularly a love story, a love
right.
song.
Right.
And so it has a lot of symbolism.
That's
in
right.
it. And so I was looking for the symbolism, trying to figure out the symbolism. And the Matthew Henry Bible commentary said it was hard to the mm-hmm. Old Testament church to find Christ in the ceremonial law.
Okay.
The watchmen of that church gave little assistance to those who sought after him. The night is a time of coldness, darkness, and drowsiness, and of dim apprehensions concerning spiritual things.
Okay.
At first, when uneasy, some feeble efforts are made to obtain the comfort of communion with Christ. This proves in vain The believer is then roused to increased diligence. The streets and broad ways seem to imply the means of grace in which the Lord is to be sought. And I like that, the grace in which the Lord is to be sought. Application is made to those who watch for men's souls. Immediate satisfaction is not found. We must not rest in any means, but by faith applied directly to Christ. The holding of Christ and not letting him go denotes earnest cleaving to him. What prevails is a humble, ardent suing by prayer with a lively exercise of faith on his promise.
Okay.
So as long as the faith of the believers keeps hold of Christ, he will not be offended at their earnest asking, and he is well pleased with it.
All right. So that's Matthew Henry?
Yes.
Okay. And so he's using a comparison between what is happening here in terms of how it relates to us and the church.
And the church and with Christ, yes. Okay. And he also said that, as believers, we desire to make others acquainted with the Savior.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever, when she was looking for him and longing for him, she wants others also to be acquainted with her love. So whenever or wherever we find Christ, we must take him home with us to our houses, especially to our hearts. And we should call upon ourselves and each other to beware of grieving our Holy Comforter and provoking the departure of the beloved.
All right.
So we don't need to provoke the departure. We don't need to provoke the going away of our love, We need to hold him close, pull him close.
So you ready to pull me close?
You're so silly.
I'm trying to figure out. Because we got to make this thing work now.
Absolutely.
All right, don't be pinching me and stuff. Telling me to stop.
You want me to hold you close?
Come on, baby. Okay, turn that off so we... No, but you're right. And Lady Kim, this is powerful because it helps us to understand that even though they're going through a very difficult time in terms of her trying to find Solomon, mm-hmm. and trying to make sure that everything that she desired, everything that she hoped for was going to come to pass, mm-hmm. was going to come to pass. And she goes out and she searches high and low until she finds what she's looking for. And then as a result, she even went as far as charging the daughters of Jerusalem and telling them that not to make their move too soon. Mm-hmm. Don't be in a hurry to pursue after that what you desire and what God has placed in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's important here that we understand that. And that's in verse number 5 where she says, young women of Jerusalem, I charge you by the Giselles. Did I say that right?
Gazelle. We keep saying Giselle because we had Giselle in the office.
And I was saying Giselles then.
And it's Gazelle.
Gazelles.
Yeah, that's that.
And the wild does or does of the field do not stir up or awaken love until the appropriate time.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's all about waiting. That's all about making sure that it happens when God wants it to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And is Giselle on the call?
Giselle is on the
call. And we keep messing your name up tonight. And
Gazelle. In the Bible, it's a gazelle because that's the animal. But
that's right.
Her name is Giselle.
Giselle, so. That's right. All right.
And she had Bathsheba also. She came
okay.
up with Bathsheba.
All right. Thank mm-hmm. you. We just went over to the other side. We have two different platforms other than the Facebook Live, which we're on. There's a streaming side, and then there's the one for the website.
Right. That's correct.
And so we praise God for each of you who are viewing. Lady Kim just finished reading the first 5 verses of that third chapter of Song of Solomon. There are only 11 verses there, and we just went through and talked about some of the key things that really kind of stood out and that's important for us to digest. and Lady Kim used the Matthew Henry's commentary to show the comparison between Christ's love for the church and how we who are in love with God should pursue others and not just keep it to ourselves.
Amen.
It should be something that we want others to have as well. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. All right. Who is that right there? Oh, okay.
I think that's you preaching. I was looking for a Bible study on 1A Top TV.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's go to the next. How many are you going to read? The rest of them?
Yes.
Six through 11.
Uh-huh. All right. It says, who is this sweeping in from the wilderness like a cloud of smoke? Who is it fragrant with myrrh and frankincense and every kind of spice? Look, it is Solomon's carriage surrounded by 60 heroic men, the best of Israel's soldiers. They are all skilled swordsmen, experienced warriors. Each wear a sword on his thigh, ready to defend the king against attack in the night. King Solomon's carriage is built of wood imported from Lebanon. Its posts are silver, its canopy gold, its cushions are purple. It was decorated with love by the young women of Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
Come out and see King Solomon, young women of Jerusalem. He wears the crown his mother gave him on his wedding day. His most joyous day.
Okay. And so we see that reference to his mother there in that last verse number 11.
Mm-hmm.
But this is just a continuation of what has already happened and how they are describing how the men are carrying Solomon. And then they go into detail talking about his carriage. And Solomon, don't forget now, was... the wisest man that ever lived.
He was the wealthiest.
And he was the wealthiest.
Mm-hmm.
So you can imagine that he was riding in
style.
In style. Yeah. And he was going, you know, he's about it.
Yeah.
About his business. And so this was a powerful reminder of how significant that was. And it had a lot to do with who he was and what he possessed and the riches and the wealth that he had.
Amen. Yes, it definitely described the riches and the wealth by the description of that, by what he was riding in, the chariot that he was riding in. It was the best wood imported from Lebanon. You know, and it said
that's verse number 9.
Number 9 and number 10 said the posts were silver and that the canopy was gold and its cushions are purple. And it was decorated with love.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when they put that thing together, they said, hey, we got to do this for Solomon. We love us some Solomon.
That's right.
So it was decorated with love.
And then you also see that there was the color purple is symbolic of royalty. And that was key then as it is now. And we're not going to get into that right now. But that's key as well because... that royal purple, and it doesn't say the gold, but it does indicate that there was gold that was covering
the canopy.
That's right. So, can y'all get that? Get a vision of that in your mind now, because that's what it was then, and that's what it is now. Hey, Brother Ryan, good to see you on tonight. As you are participating and being a part of this study. And so we praise God for Ryan. That's Jeannie Darlene Cleveland's youngest son. And he's in Houston, isn't he?
Yes,
uh-huh.
Houston, Texas.
And so glad to see you on tonight. And all of you who are on, we're grateful for you participating and being a part. Are there any questions that's coming out, Lady Kim?
Not yet.
Okay.
But I do want to talk about the symbolism that the chariot.
Okay.
The chariot here denotes the covenant of redemption.
Okay.
The way of our salvation.
Okay.
This is that work of Christ which makes him loved and admired in the eyes of the believer.
Covenant of redemption?
Yes.
Okay, that's powerful.
Mm-hmm. It is framed and contrived both of the glory of Christ and for comfort of the believers.
Mm-hmm.
It is well ordered and all things are sure. The blood of the covenant, that rich purple, is the cover of this chariot by which believers are sheltered from the wind and storms of divine wrath and the troubles of this world. But the midst of it is that love of Christ which passes knowledge. It is for the believers to repose upon, to lay upon Christ in his gospel manifest himself. Take special notice of his crown. Applying this to Christ, it speaks the honor put upon him and his power and dominion.
Okay. That's powerful. And so we see a lot coming out there. I like the part where you talked about the covenant of the redeemed, mm-hmm. and how important it is for us to know that we are covered. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. In other words, if God has done something for you, if you're saved, if you're healed and delivered, if God has made a way for you, if God has opened a door, if God has healed your body, if God has picked you up and turned you around and placed your feet on the solid ground, how dare you hold that and keep it to yourself?
Amen.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And we have been redeemed. By the blood of the Lamb.
Yes,
we have
Lord.
Been washed and we're made clean. And God says that he will provide shelter. And I like that, even in a time of trouble,
in
a time of a storm, a time of trouble, the troubles of the world, and just making this applicable and relatable to what we're going through even today, and how important it is to know that we have covering, we have shelter, and that's symbolic of our relationship with God and what he provides for us. Even when we're faced with difficulties, trials, yes, even tribulation. The trying of our faith, James says, is what worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that we might be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So he says, count it all joy.
All joy.
So be not weary in well-doing.
Yes.
For in due season, you shall reap if you faint not. So you can't faint. You can't give up. You can't throw in the towel. You got to continue to press toward that mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And there will be a reward. You're coming out. And you're going to come out better than you went in.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Thank you, Jesus.
All right. Sister Gwen, you made it. Good evening. Good to see you tonight. Good to see you. Your signature, we can't see your face. Is that right, Lady Kim?
Right.
Okay. So, Lady Kim, we have really covered these 11 verses. There were only 11 verses.
Yes.
And let's go ahead and see if we can get some prayer requests and see if people have any requests that we need to pray for. But we can kind of close out with this conclusion in terms of what is being said here as it relates to this particular chapter and see what God is yet saying to us as we prepare to close out this third chapter and then get ready to move into this fourth chapter in terms of what God is doing in the Song of Solomon. I tell you, are you enjoying this study?
Yes. Okay. You know, I like it because, you know, like you said, it's the Bible is a well-rounded book.
That's right. That's
right. And God did not forget about love.
That's right.
And relating a person's love to the love of Christ and the love that Christ has for his bride, which is the church.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, even though this is a love story about Solomon and his beloved Shulamite bride, you know, bride to be and then bride, it is a stark resemblance or reminder of God's love for us.
That's
and
cool.
How much he loves us.
Mm-hmm.
So if that we were to wrap this up, you know, it shows that when we seek God, when we seek him diligently, we will find him. Remember, mm-hmm. the other woman went out and she looked for him. She couldn't find him at first.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually she found him and she held on to him. So if you're going through something, seek after God. And when you find him, hold on. Hold on. Don't let him go.
Don't let him go.
He'll never leave you nor forsake you.
Bye-bye.
He'll be with you always, even until the end.
All right.
So hold on to God.
All right, there's a comment there. Dr. Q, what did she say?
I think this book shows us how to love on God in different situations.
Mm-hmm.
It just uses Solomon and the Shunammite woman as symbols.
Okay. And you know, the greatest expression of God's love is found in John 3:16, of
yes.
course, that God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And there are countless symbols, there are countless reminders throughout the Bible of expressions of God's love toward us,
mm-hmm.
and how he was willing to sacrifice his son that we might have the right to the tree of life.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Any prayer requests coming through, Lady Kim? Do you see anything?
No prayer requests yet. If you have prayer requests, please put them in. But we do want to remind you that this coming Friday night,
mm-hmm.
please join us for our luminary cancer
walk. Is
that
this Friday?
It is Friday night.
What?
It slipped up on me.
Wow.
I haven't even purchased my badge yet. I just, because I was rushing so to get into the meeting Sunday. Yes, but it's this Friday, 7 p.m. at the church. We will walk around. You can walk around as long as you want to, but we usually walk for about an hour, 45 minutes to an hour. You can walk as fast as you want, and you can walk as slow as you want. Okay? Pray for Sister Pat Eccles. We most certainly will.
It was good to see her Sunday, but we want to continue to pray her strength in the Lord.
Prayers of healing and strength for Lulu, Kevin Lawrence King, and Camisita Sharkey, Quina Williams, Quiana Williams, and the counselors at Concern EPA Memphis.
Okay. So much going on, and so much that demands us as believers to come together and to pray. The Bible says that the effectual fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much. And we know that God is indeed a prayer answering God. And I tell you, we ought not let an opportunity pass us by. If we're standing in the need of prayer and you have an opportunity for someone to touch and agree with you, I believe something powerful happens in the atmosphere, Lady
Amen.
Kim, in a release of our faith. And I believe God honors that. And I think that change will happen as a result of our faithfulness, because we know there are countless episodes and stories throughout the Bible where God saw the faith of those who were trying to be healed or trying to be delivered or looking for an answer to their prayers. And as a result of their faith, many people were released from that which was holding them hostage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you mentioned the Cancer Luminary Walk, and then what else do we have on tap for this weekend? Anything else?
Not that I can think of.
Okay, we have a guest this Sunday.
Guest this Sunday, yes.
All Pink Sunday. Right?
It's All Pink Sunday, so
mm-hmm.
wear your pink to church on Sunday. And Dr. Geraldine Rush and the House of Christ will be our special guest this
mm-hmm.
Sunday.
And if you don't have pink, now, that doesn't mean stay at home.
Right, right.
You can still come, but for the most part, because I don't have a pink suit, I'm going to have on a pink tie, and maybe I don't think I have a pink shirt, but I have on something that's symbolic of
mm-hmm.
This month, this breast cancer awareness and cancer awareness, because we're taking it even a step further than just breast cancer.
Right.
Is that right?
Yes.
And you were celebrating how many years?
I think it's 25 years.
25 years.
As a breast
years.
Cancer survivor. Yes.
Okay.
I was diagnosed in 1997.
Okay.
Yes.
And I tell you, that was a major... that was a major situation for us when you were diagnosed and the doctors and going through that whole process. You remember
uh-huh,
when we were in
yeah.
Flint and we had a little doctor who was, he was on the fence. He didn't, I don't think he was a believer. And he said some radical things, and I stood up. The Spirit stood up in me. And I told him, I said, look, man, we believe in God, and we know God to be a healer. And because he was very...
doom and gloom.
Doom and gloom, yes. And no real possibility of, you know, this thing being healed and all of that. And we prayed down heaven, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
And God showed up, and I tell you.
25 years later.
Yep, and it strengthened us as a result of that whole process. And here you are, some 25 years later, still holding forth and going strong. And we praise God for his keeping power. Shabbat. What did she say?
We praise God for you not having a pink suit.
Okay, let me go find me a pink suit. Let me see if I can find a pink suit at, what's the name of that place down there on?
The men's warehouse.
K&G. I'm going to go down there tomorrow and see if I find one, I definitely won't be buying it.
All right, if there are no more prayer requests, then we're gonna.
Yeah, we can pray to close. We're right on time, mm-hmm. It was only 11 verses in that chapter tonight, and so we praise God for each of you and your participation and just sharing with us in this process. And we're not having our Leadership Institute this Thursday. Is that correct?
That's correct. No, we finished out on the last module lesson for number 3 on last Thursday. So the workshop will be on October 22nd.
Okay.
Yes.
And I think early voting is getting ready to start as well at ATOP, and that starts, I don't have the exact dates. Do you have those?
I haven't
been in the room. Okay. And so that'll be starting not this week, but next week, because they've already notified us that they're going to deliver the machines this week. So it'll be starting the following week. I think it starts next Wednesday, this Wednesday. And so we praise God for each of you. But we need you to make sure now that you exercise your right to vote and that you get out for early voting, which will start not this week, but the following week, and participate in the process so that we can make sure that our voices are heard. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Anything else, Lady Kim, as we prepare
to
close? We'll be in the 4th chapter on next week, and we thank God for each of you tonight. Will you close us with a word of prayer?
Gracious God in heaven, we bow in your presence tonight. We thank you, God, for being in the midst of this study. We lift up our bereaved families to you tonight, God, the Boyd and the Williams family, and the Young family, the Boyd and the Young family. We ask, God, that you be with them. We know this is difficult. The sting of death, oh God, is mighty. But beyond the sting of death are your comforting and everlasting arms. So we ask that you would comfort that family. Comfort Sister Ebony, oh God, and those 3 little children of Reverend Boyd. Comfort Sister Diane Young, oh God, in the loss of her husband and her sons and her children as they go through the loss of Bishop Young. We ask, oh God, that you would comfort them and keep them. God, we lift up and we ask that you would heal those that need a healing. We lift up Sister Pat Echols to you, God. Continue to touch and heal her body. God, Lulu and Kevin King and Kamisada Sharkey, you know what the issues are, God. So we ask in the name of Jesus that you would just step in and do what you can do best.
Thank you, Lord.
Kiana Williams, God, bless her in a mighty way. God, the counselors at Concern EAP Memphis, you know what they're dealing with, God. They deal with a lot of situations, a lot of trauma, a lot of grief. We ask, oh God, that that grief and that trauma not be transferred to them, God, that they be able to help people so that people might be made stronger as a result of their counsel. God, we lift up the Luminary Walk to you this Friday. We ask, God, that people come out and walk with a purpose, for a purpose, God. And that purpose is to continue the research to eradicate cancer, all kind of cancer, God. And we thank you, God, for all the survivors. We thank you for those who are continuing the fight, God. And we pray for families, oh God, who have lost loved ones to cancer. We ask, oh God, that you would continue to be with our pastor, be with our church, Anointed Temple of Praise, be with Dr. Crystal Williams, the regional minister and president of the Tennessee region. Be with the Tennessee region as we continue to be managers, oh God, and stewards of your great creation and over your people. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you will do. We love you, and we bless you, and we honor you. And God, we don't dare forget to lift up those who are incarcerated, those who are in the hospitals, those, oh God, who are experiencing mental health challenges.
Yes, God.
God, touch their minds and touch their hearts, oh God, in a mighty way. And we thank you that you are a God who knows all, who sees all, but most of all, you can change any situation. And we bless you and we honor you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and praise God. Thank you, Lady Kim, for that powerful prayer. And even as we close, we pray that you will go in peace and may the peace of God go with you.
Amen. Good night, everybody. Thanks for joining. See you next Monday.